Hey guys, Kyle here, coming to you live from the secret above ground Zero Issues bunker. It's so above ground that it's in the sky. Don't look for us, we'll look for you. I've been putting together this week's episode in which we talk about Guardians of the Galaxy, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Dragon Ball Z Battle of the Gods, in addition to talking about all of the announced and unannounced movies coming out in the next, 5, 10 years. And I've been going through it, and it's too big. There's so much content that I've got here. It's a wealth. It's an embarrassment of content. So I know you guys don't like listening to 2 hour, 2.5 hour podcasts. I don't. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take these two halves and split them up. But I'm not going to make it, you know, so that next week is going to be another movie episode, because I mean, this is a comics podcast, it's not a movies podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Guardians and Ninja Turtles and Dragon Ball. And Sunday, 3 days from now, you're going to be getting another podcast where we talk about the future! The future of movies! So you don't have to wait a whole week to listen to more of that. No, next week, next Wednesday, we'll be right back on track with, you know, the stuff that we normally talk about, which is comics, not peripheral stuff relating to comics. Yeah, that's what's going on right now. It's two episodes this week. That's exciting. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. Let's throw it to the guys in the past. Hey, guys in the past, how's it going? Guys? Guys?
Hi, I'm Kyle.
I'm Brian.
I'm Merc.
And this is Zero Issues Comics Podcast.
At the movies?
Going to the movies! I got popcorn!
I want to eat popcorn too.
What?
I want a mixed slushy.
Alrighty, let's go.
I'll slice up two cakes and I'll mash them up, Girl Talk style.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then I write my name all over it. Just in pen.
Skrillex.
It's really hard. You spend about an hour trying to get your name written on there in pen.
Yeah, but you can really taste the ink.
That makes it all worth it.
This has nothing to do with this podcast at all.
Not at all.
But so welcome to the remix
podcast. Welcome to part two of our topic, 2014 in comic movies, or comic
Zero
adaptations.
Issues goes to the movies!
Yeah. Last time we discussed, sort of three plus, we talked about Captain America the Winter Soldier, and tied that into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and how that season ended and how they impacted each other. We talked about The Amazing Spider-Man 2,
Days of Future Past.
X-Men Days of Future Past, and we might have gone on a few little tangents there. Go figure.
Imagine that.
Imagine it. So, that basically kind of brings us through, like, what else would there potentially be as far as, like, nerdier comic movies? There was Transformers 4, but shit, no.
Did anybody see that?
God,
no. I mean, did anybody in this room see that?
Absolutely not. I've only seen the first Transformers movie, and I hated that enough to not watch another one ever again.
I don't think Grimlock ever wore a crown during the movie, so, I mean, what's the point?
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, when we're recording this, it was about a week and a few days ago that a little movie came out called...
No, it's not called Ooga Chaka.
Well, yeah. That came out, too. That was the Asylum version.
Yeah.
The Asylum version.
Yeah, you know, like Snakes on the Train,
I know. Yeah. You mean half of Netflix?
Yeah. So Guardians of the Galaxy came out and just blew records left and right.
Yeah.
Like, that was amazing.
And yeah, I gotta say, I was telling you earlier, I love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I almost could not love it more.
I mentioned during...
I thought it was just so well done, and it was so refreshing, oh, and God. So... And largely because, and I think the secret is that there's no baggage to it. It's not a Spider-Man, it's not an Iron Man, it's not something that's got, like, 50 years of stuff that everybody knows, and it's like, you know what, you can just take these characters and nobody gives a shit about them. Well, really, like, the general public has no idea. We, as fans, know varyingly... It's some, one... a lot. Like, I've read quite a bit of it, so I know them. But at the same time, it doesn't matter if you change a little bit around. Because in the comics, the Guardian, like, Star-Lord's character has been changed around 100 times.
Oh, yeah. It was funny. I was at the comic store recently, and I haven't read much of the old stuff. But Todd was... We name-dropped Todd, like, every episode. But I know he listens, and he might appreciate that. But he was flipping through, like, they had, like, some, like... paperback of like early Star-Lord stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just like, wow, that's not even the same dude at all.
No, he was like an astronaut.
Yeah.
That in order to get onto he was like second listed to get onto the flight. He kills the guy ahead of him so that he can sneak on and get on the flight. That's not really the Star-Lord that we know.
No. he would pants the guy ahead of
him. Yeah, exactly.
But it was also very kind of like
while wearing a Walkman.
Pulpy kind of like. Yeah, so I mean, you say that, that was a big benefit that it had, but at the same time, it's such a rarity these days for something that's not, like, an established franchise or something you're already familiar with to catch on in the way that this movie caught on. Because, like, again, those box office numbers were, for August, like, August is usually, like, the box office drops off a bit. Expectations are much lower for August than any other month. It blew the doors off. Like, it was incredible. Like, it did as well, basically on par as, like, Winter Soldier. And it looks like it's going to do better than it in the long run.
I think that we can all, you know, we can attribute that to one character alone, and that is Cosmo, the space dog.
Yes, and I cannot even describe how happy I was to see Cosmo the space dog.
I thought that
not
was...
Not once, but twice.
Because for maybe new listeners, people who haven't been listening too long. We've talked about Cosmo before on the Cosmic Characters episode, where that was the first time I had heard of him when I brought him up.
Oh, really?
I'm glad I did. Yeah.
I had no idea. And then,
I'm glad,
you know,
I did.
3 weeks later, he's in a movie.
That's funny. I've actually seen him in another, Agents of Atlas, that series, and a couple of other little bits here and there. And then... Right, it was like 2 days before I saw the movie, I picked up, they put out a Guardians of the Galaxy trade. That was the not current series, but the series before.
Okay.
Which kind of had more, like, it was the more reintroduction.
Was
this sort of
like, was that like after Annihilation or something like that? Or
yes.
How did that go?
Okay. Yes, yes, post-Annihilation.
And the current one is Bendis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I've heard good things about, too.
And I had never read any of the post-Annihilation pre-current series one. And I was like, I've been dying to read this, because I don't really know much about that whole part of, like, really how they got together. And part of it, I guess, it's missing from that trade is the whole Annihilation and all that stuff. And I saw some of it. I didn't read all. I just read snippets of Annihilation. But
I haven't read any of it.
And so I read that whole arc in that trade, and then I go to the movie and I see all the stuff that's in it, and I'm like, holy shit, okay, there's the stuff directly with Cosmo with Nowhere.
Yeah.
And I saw a Celestial, which...
Oh, dude, you saw an actual Celestial.
I had
in a major motion picture.
I had a boner. I had a full-on erection, I have to say.
I don't think he's kidding.
You know, I'm not.
Now I'm kind of glad that I didn't sit with him.
I think it was such a stellar...
I mentioned
some would say
intro.
Interstellar.
Oh. An interstellar stellar introduction to the cosmic storylines.
Sure.
And it was just fun. Like,
oh,
which,
God.
How many movies have enough substance to be... And I know people are making this comparison, and I actually hate this comparison, but at the same time, it kind of works. It's the modern-day Star Wars thing, where it's fun,
yeah.
It's a cosmic thing, That's really where the comparison ends.
But it's still feeling.
Good enough. It's the feeling of
The second that movie ended, I pulled up my phone and just tweeted, like, is this what it felt like seeing Star Wars for the first time in 1977? And I'm not saying it's because it's the same movie. I'm just saying because it was just something, like, wow. Like, it was that good.
Yeah.
Like, it was going to, like, thrill that many people and just, I think, be that popular and really kind of, like, yeah, I was just, like, amazed and thrilled the entire time.
Not that I didn't have problems with the odd little thing, but really, well, like, okay. There's going to be no movie that you're going to get to.
We're nerds, we nitpick, it's fine.
No, it's not even kind of that. It was actually more with acting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Batista.
What?
Oh, I loved him.
What did you
No
just...
way.
Well, I found him so stiff, but at the same time, they kind of helped
that's
the character.
That's his character, though.
I know, but it...
Like they casted him so perfectly.
Yeah, a little bit. And even with...
I thought it was charming, honestly.
I thought it was like, I was kind of back and forth, like, depending on what line. It I was like, worse. Okay, that worked, but that didn't.
He could have been Goldberg.
Yeah.
No, I liked
Goldberg?
It.
He's so tiny.
That would have been...
Oh, boy.
The Hebrew Hammer?
Have you seen that?
I have.
Clearly.
Sorry to hear that.
It's one of those.
And then Gamora, I found a little trying at times. Well, yeah, she was a little.
I've heard it said, like, that's her character. She's, you know, standoffish and frigid. And it's like, okay, well, you are doing that. But it wasn't.
The delivery of the lines was a little stiff. But you know what? There was such a minor thing that it wasn't like you did not destroy the atmosphere of it. You didn't do whatever. Like, it was just. And everybody. Everything else fell into place so perfectly.
You know what? The actor that I had an issue with was actually... No. It was Karen Gillan as Nebula.
Really?
Yeah, I felt like she was really hamming it up.
A little bit.
Like, I'm sassy. He's like, meh.
I don't like you, Dad.
I liked her. I thought she was fine.
I couldn't stop looking at her makeup. I thought her face looked so awesome. Yeah.
The part where her jaw realigns.
Yeah. Like, oh, God, that was amazing.
It was gross, but I liked it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird movie where it's sort of like, well, let's, you know, which actors could you sort of complain about? I feel like it's sort of like, well,
yeah.
As a whole, they were great. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so strong.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, my complaints are minor.
Yeah.
And it's...
But even then, I think relatively, I mean, like, if you look at, like, how strong it was as a whole, it's sort of like, you know, I think the weaker performances in this movie, in a different movie, would have been the highlights. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it was that good.
Yeah.
Something, too, to be said for, the full CGI characters.
Not show of hands, but... by maybe a grunt of approval. Anybody else cry when Groot died?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want to know when else I cried? I legitimately teared up in the theater when Drunk Rocket was sort of...
Oh, yeah.
Had his breakdown about basically what actually happened to him to make him what he is. And I was like, again, you had Bradley Cooper voicing a CGI talking raccoon tell his tragic backstory, and I in the theater was like legitimately just like about to just burst into tears.
You know what? It was at Hill City, Rob at Hill City. I went there it must have been Friday. And I was going to see it Friday night, and I guess I didn't realize that there was a Thursday showing.
There was a midnight show?
Apparently.
God damn it!
They do that. No, Thursday. I think there was even Thursday showings at like 7 and stuff.
I didn't even
know.
They
do that. They used to have midnight showings, and now they're increasingly doing like Thursday preview showings where there's like a couple of showings like even like regularly on Thursday that count towards the Friday totals.
Yeah.
It's really just the studios trying to game the system, I think, a little bit to make them like so, more successful.
But he saw it, and he was like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And it's really good, and he goes, and you know what? The breakout character is Rocket.
Yeah.
And he says, I will be surprised, and I actually agree with him after seeing it. I would be surprised if there's not some sort of buddy film offshoot or something of Groot and Rocket. I'm like, the two of them together, the backstory and just the interplay was so good.
I Rocket was so great. I mean, both of them are great, but Rocket was so great in that movie. Such a scene stealer that you heard it here first. Rocket Raccoon is the new Wolverine.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I went on Sunday. I took my daughter to go see it because we go see all the comic movies. Yeah. And I was thinking, like, she's going to love Rocket. She's going to be amazed by Rocket. And we come out of the movie, and I'm like, so who was your favorite? She's like, Groot. Absolutely.
Oh, Groot was amazing.
I totally dug Groot.
This was, and so I went down to a participating Subway restaurant and picked up a Groot bag.
Really? Is that a thing?
Yeah, because it's like, what merch can I get in town? It's like, oh, there's a little backpack that has Groot and Rocket on it.
Oh, really?
It's like, yeah, okay, I'll pay $3 for this.
You're a good dad.
We're not
following.
I'm a good Vin Diesel fan.
Yeah. And again, him being Groot. I mean, like, I think it. You know what I mean? Like, Vin Diesel is known a lot for his kind of like tough guy, whatever roles and stuff like that.
But he's also
Superman. Exactly. It went back to Iron Giant, where he was able to. Again, a character that had like sort of a limited vocabulary and was able to convey a lot just in the vocal performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he nailed it.
He nailed it. But you know what? I'll say that's not that.
I don't agree necessarily.
But he has one line over and over and over again. Mm. And it's like, and he's got the voice that's that kind of voice.
A lot of it was facial expressions of the CGI. Yes.
It's the combination, and it's not like.
And again,
totally.
If you're talking about, again, you can't give it all to him because, I mean, again, the CG artist, like, the facial expressions, like that one moment where he just, like, turned back and smiled.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, I was just almost falling down laughing.
Between him and Rocket, they looked so fantastic. Incredible. It was flawless.
It was just. I'm not going to go off track here, but. There's a lot of arguments made about another movie that I might talk about soon about how you had to change inhuman features to look human. Rocket Raccoon, you sure don't.
No.
You can make that look amazing.
Yeah.
And they did.
And finally, a CG pigeon roll.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, it's been, what, 20 years or so since that Dire Straits video? Finally, a CG pigeon roll.
There we go. What else can you really say? I mean, like, it introduced so much. It gave you Thanos with a speaking role.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I have to say the one thing I was kind of surprised about is how quickly they jumped into that.
Yeah.
I thought there would be a little lead up, like a little tension of like just him, like with his back turned
but
a little more
or whatever, or like overused.
No.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. And it worked well. And I actually liked Ronan.
I thought he was
used really well. That it was, he was not like bang on to what the character was in the comic, but I didn't really care about that.
Mm-hmm.
It just worked well in the movie. And it was the fact that he turned to the other and killed him.
Yeah.
And did that head spin thing. And I was like, nice. Okay. Now we're having more tension.
Wyndham Price dies again.
Was that him again? Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay.
I forgot that was... Oh,
Alexis Denisov.
Yeah. I forgot that was him after, you know, reading that it was him in the Avengers scenes. And then I looked it up again. I was like, oh, yeah, it was Wesley.
Yeah.
He got shut up.
Yeah. Hey, man, he's done well for himself by having bit parts where you can't see his face at all in major motion pictures. But he's a really good actor, and, you know, it was kind of nice that they brought him back for that.
I loved Star-Lord's mask that they actually used. And it looked awesome.
Like, they have, like, there's one, like, in the comics with, like, the helmet and stuff.
Yeah.
They managed to make it work in a really, really cool way where, like, I want to, you know, I'm sure they're selling, like...
Oh, yes, they are.
They're selling that mask. I'm gonna buy that for sure. That's super good. I want to be Star-Lord for Halloween now.
I want to be Groot. Saw somebody posted that they were like, they're like, all the upcoming Halloween costumes are not going to top this guy's Groot costume.
I saw that online.
It was fucking bang on. It was like, holy shit, you can't differentiate it from the movie. It looked great.
I'm still looking forward to sexy Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, that's a bit of a callback.
Sexy Groot.
It's been, what, 10 episodes? Still... jonesing for it.
Sexy Groot will give you wood, though.
Oh, God.
Oh, that was horrible.
I didn't sound disgusted, I sounded excited.
Okay, should we jump into the Easter eggs?
Absolutely.
Now, sure. I didn't notice any of the Adam Warlock stuff. Can somebody please fill me in on this?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really get that either.
I didn't notice it in Thor. It's actually in Dark World.
Oh!
It's at the end there, when they go and see the Collector in the extra scene.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Okay.
Apparently, but it's it's kind of like very quickly in the background. And then it's in Guardians, where it's the cocoon, which it's... Adam Warlock has a cocoon that he kind of regenerates or like is reborn as Adam Warlock. And it's in both of those. And then I think it's busted in the, apparently. I have to go back and see it again to see that little end bit, that little end credit after where they just show Collector and Cosmo comes up and then the duck. Apparently the cocoon is broken. And the thing is, with Adam Warlock, he is the holder of the soul gem. There's your other infinity gem.
Well, yeah. Which gem was it in Guardians?
Must have been the power gem.
I thought power was in Dark World. Just because it was red. I'm going by is colors, because they haven't really made it all that clear.
No. Yeah. I saw one site that they tried to organize it, but they completely fucked it up. Because they actually, here's this. They had the list of gems. They had all the wrong colors. And they had all the listings above. Like, this is this one, this is this one. Mm-hmm. And they had Loki's scepter as one of them. And I was like,
oh, really?
Everybody comments, that's not, one, that's linked to the Tesseract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the other gems. So that's not a separate gem. That's just part of that. That's where it draws its power, but...
How many years do you think it's going to be until we actually get all of the gems? Because it's fucking taking a long time.
Yeah.
Well, really, like, what is it? The Tesseract is one.
Yeah.
Whatever this one is, the Power Gem or whatever it is.
Yeah. And the spooky red stuff from Spooky Thor.
Spooky Thor. So that's three.
That's three. And that's it. That's all we've had so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Technically. And, but we saw the gauntlet. The gauntlet is in the first Thor.
It's in the first Thor movie.
You just pause it during. It's in the in the.
They walk down the vault and it sort of has a shot where it's there. You see it.
I wonder if they're ever going to actually explain that. Is it just a gauntlet that's designed to hold all of the stones, which they are called now?
I don't know.
Stones is tougher than gems.
I think they're going to figure it out. I think they might have.
A plan. You've got enough faith in Marvel's plan.
Yeah?
Okay.
I think I do. I think they've earned a little faith.
Yeah, okay. All right. That's fair.
That's my opinion.
That's what happens when you make only good movies, apparently.
Yeah, that's what happens.
More Easter eggs?
Sure.
Mm.
One I did not notice, but I read about later, and I'll have to see it when I go see it again, is when he's on Moreg, the first desolate world.
Yeah.
Which... is actually the name of the first leader of the Kree people. So that's a little nod to the Kree. He's the character that he was in the original the beginning of the battle between the Kree Skrull War. He was the leader of the Kree people at that point.
Oh, okay.
Neat. But that's just a little tiny bit. But when he's on Moreg, apparently you see skeletal remains at one point, and one of them is kind of a horse head. And everybody's going, Better Ray Bill, or his people.
Right.
Interesting. Which I haven't noticed yet, so I gotta, when I see it again, I'll be watching out for that.
You know what? Right. I think one of the cool things about the Easter eggs in these movies is that it's an Easter egg, and that's fun, but there's always the possibility that it's gonna build to something huge.
Yeah.
Two or three movies down the line. Exactly. Because that's what they've been doing the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Even, little hints of something where it's just like, they've really kind of maximized on just, the seeds they've planted, really. Even if they wasn't like, hey, this is going to be the plan necessarily, they have stuff in place where they can work with. You know what I mean? They've been really smart about that.
Yeah. Two things they are, will probably build on. What's his name? Dejaimon? His character.
Oh, Digimon?
Digimon? I don't know how
every time I see that guy's name, I'm like, oh, Digimon.
He was a Sakaran, which originally was supposed to be a Badoon character, like a Badoon species, but then they changed it to Sakaran.
Okay.
And the Sakarans are the species
that were in Planet Hulk.
Oh!
Yeah, they're like the warring species in Planet Hulk.
So, fellas got excited up in this place.
So, we'll talk a little bit about that later, but there is talk of a planet... Well, there has been talk of Planet Hulk, but then they were saying, oh no, it's never going to happen, it's not going to happen.
We can't do a Hulk movie, we tried that a couple times. Well,
then they've been talking about more like a World War Hulk movie is what they're talking about. But,
right.
But people have been... Like, there was the animated thing of Planet Hulk, which I think is fantastic. That's one of my favorite animated ones.
It's in my top three Hulk animated movies.
Wow, that's generous.
Well, there were three of them.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I think I see them over there.
Yeah. Then there's Star-Lord's father.
Yeah.
That whole bit.
Where that bit at the end where he said, maybe it's best we,
You know what? I noticed upon the second viewing, they reference it earlier in the movie, too.
What's it? She says he's a being of light.
No, between that and right at the end, where they talk about...
Which point?
I can't remember exactly when it is, but specifically they do reference, like, he says, you were a bounty.
That's right, the Ravagers say, we were, the father sent us out to get him, but then we didn't.
Yeah, but more of a subtle hint towards it earlier on before they spelled it out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Because it's supposed to be, because in the comics, it's Jason, J-apostrophe-S-O-N.
Oh, Jason.
Whatever. Of Spartex. And he's the leader of that planet. But...
He's a real dick.
He's a dick. In the comic, there's a little fire insignia. Is the symbol of Spartoi or Spartex? Is it Spartoi or Spartex? I have no idea.
It's Spartex, but I don't know.
Maybe Spartex is the name of the empire. Spartoi is the planet.
Maybe. In the comics, there's a little insignia on Star-Lord is the symbol for Spartoi. But in the movie, it's the Ravager symbol.
Yeah, right.
So they changed that around. So they've already changed a little bit.
Right.
But, yeah.
You know what another thing I liked about the movie, and it's a little thing. But the whole Terra and Terran thing, I really like when people refer to Earth as Terra.
Yeah.
I think that's... I don't know why.
I like that a lot, too.
It's super fun, just because, look, not every planet can be called Earth.
Yeah.
And you have to assume early enough in any species, before they get space, they're calling their planet whatever version of Earth is in their language.
Sure.
And also just the idea of, that's what you guys named it.
Exactly.
Totally call it something else. Yeah. Why would we call your planet what you call it?
Like, we name planets, we discover other things.
Yeah. So we go to Mars, they go, it's not called Mars.
Yeah. What? It's like going to Japan.
We named it Japan.
There's no J.
It was, I honestly, and I said during the Winter Soldier bit in the previous episode that Winter Soldier was my new favorite Marvel movie for a few months, because this took the crown. Like, I honestly enjoyed this movie so much. It's the best one yet, as far as I'm concerned. And again, part of that, it felt like they had, James Gunn, the director, had probably more freedom than others did.
Well, that's the thing, you're not bound with so much baggage.
Yeah.
This character has to do this, and it's going to be connected to that, and whatever. And it's like, I'm sure there was some, but it was enough that it's like, oh, okay, here you have free reign to do a little bit. Plus, and then you have such a different, you're taking it out of Earth and that context and these characters that are talking back and forth, but you can go to another planet and all of a sudden start with a dance sequence. And it actually works.
And again,
pay attention, Spider-Man.
And even one that's sort of like, again, they sort of tied it at the end there, but, characters that, I'm not saying this movie did it the best of all time or anything necessarily, but characters that, properly sort of developed from one thing to a complete other.
Right.
Because, again, that showed me he was, kicking little creatures around and just generally kind of being an asshole. He started off just kind of a dick. He wasn't really a good guy. And then at the end of the movie, he's a legit hero. And it's sort of like, you know what I mean? Like the Han Solo.
Right.
The Han Solo, that's... his experience changed him enough that, you know what I mean? He had an actual legitimate character arc.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it sometimes, I mean, like, good movies do that because you're supposed to. If you're telling a story, you're supposed to have that. And this movie had it for several characters, at least, you know, did a decent job of it, I thought. It was nice.
As long as, you know, the next thing that they show up in, it's not reset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've got to learn this same lesson again, which is a problem that I see in a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows.
I think they set it up well enough sort of at the end where it's sort of like, yeah, they've changed a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the
they're,
way.
They're still outlawish
and
not liked by everybody, but they're at least... They've gained the respect of the Xandarians.
It's a realistic thing where they all stepped up to do the right thing, but just because they did that one time doesn't mean they've completely changed as people.
Okay, while we're talking about that, stepping up to do the right thing, I saw a very bizarre article on Newsrama.
Was it talking about step up? Was it talking about do the right thing?
It's talking about Spike Lee.
Huh?
No.
No. Oh, it's talking about Old Boy.
Oh, no.
You know that whole thing?
Yeah. He should have done the right thing there.
He should have stepped up.
Jerk.
To the streets.
Jesus. Thanos, what have you done to the Scarlet Witch?
No, what it was...
it's the same actors.
Yeah. It took a second.
Yeah.
That it was... I can't remember how they posed it, but it was basically like, did anybody... Here's the thing that nobody's talking about, sort of thing. Like, this is a colossal issue. And it was weird, because, you know what? One, it's a fiction movie. This didn't really happen. But they're like... The point where, you know, they're supposed to be kind of good guys, and they go into the collector's collection area, whatever, to go do the deal with him.
The Hall of Easter Eggs.
And... there's a room full of basically slaves and prisoners.
Yeah.
And people who are locked away. Why didn't they get more outraged? And why weren't they like trying to set them free? And this, why aren't we talking about this?
Well,
and it made it sound like this was actual news footage. And why aren't we all... maybe that was just the way I was interpreting it. Right. I was like, okay, one, none, these people just broke out of prison. So, one, they're not really the good guys.
There's an argument, okay, there's that, and there's an argument to be made that they're sort of dealing with, like, one, they're not even really, you know, 100% sure what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
But their perspective is on, hey, this could destroy the galaxy.
Yeah.
So you really, like, let's maybe...
let's keep it in perspective. Let's
maybe try to, like, you know, first save the galaxy, then, you know, oh, there's some prisoners here, and that sucks, but, you know... who will also die if the galaxy gets destroyed? Yeah. Them.
Well, you know, Chitauri are separate but equal.
Yeah.
My original joke was going to be a dark elf one, and I'm like, nope. Let's go with the other thing that's in there.
In fairness, yeah. Not to sound prejudiced against Chitauri or dark elves, but those two were established to be dicks in previous movies. That's so fair. You're not going to feel that bad. So I'm a fictional space bigot. Is basically what we've just established.
Space bigot, you know what I mean?
I would read that comic.
Yeah. I'm gonna start writing it.
Write it down. But I just thought it was weird because it popped up and I just didn't really look at it too hard, and then it popped up like once or twice more.
Really?
On other things, and I was like, is this something that really needs talking about?
I don't know, man. Did you find it on Tumblr?
I don't know. Karina, who was like collector's little servant girl that he was getting pissed off with.
Yeah.
That is an actual character.
In comics?
Karina Walters, that's actually his daughter.
Oh, boy.
It's supposed to be
the girl that Star-Lord hooked up with at the beginning. Isn't that a character?
I have that written down. Barit. She's the pink girl. She's in the comics. She's actually like some interstellar kind of music icon kind of girl. She's
Space Dazzler.
Yeah, totally. Wow. She's in some of the Hulk comics.
So this This movie really did its work just making sure pretty much everybody in it was an actual character. And again, all characters who have appeared in a movie before Wonder Woman.
Yeah. And it had Lloyd Kaufman in it.
Yes, it did. Yeah. That was awesome.
You know what? When I was watching that, I was like, who is that? Is that Steven Spielberg? No, it's not Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg.
I know somewhere. But just as talented.
Just as prolific.
Well, hey, one gave James Gunn his start, and one didn't.
Exactly. That's true. Hey. Yeah. One gave James Gunn his start, the other one helped kick off the Transformers franchise. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to give it to Kaufman. Yeah. Thank you, Lloyd Kaufman.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah,
Oh, and then there's also, in the collection, there's what, Chitauri, Dark Elves, as we said earlier. Did you see Slither?
What?
No.
No.
Yeah.
I love you, James Gunn.
It's there.
Love you, James Gunn.
Yeah.
Slither is such a good movie.
Episode title, We Love You, James Gunn.
And did you know that Rob Zombie was in it?
No, I had no idea.
He's the Ravager Navigator.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Like Nathan Fillion was the
big blue guy.
He was the big blue guy who.
I was kind of disappointed that's what he did.
I really wanted a bad Russian accent as Cosmo.
Exactly. I wanted
real
him to
bad, do. But you
well,
know,
I was
satisfied.
I thought they were going to do a Nova thing, and
that would have been
like I thought he would have been one of the ones in you know what I mean Rider here or something, you know what I mean? That would be cool.
What they did with the Nova Corps and making them not super-powered Green Lanterns, I was okay with it, but I would like to see at least one that is, pretty much Richard Rider.
Yeah. I did love those Nova ships, though, that opened up into the symbol, which were super, that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, it was well done.
But yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that they gotta have a Richard Rider that does the whole, look at me, I can fly it.
It could still be Nathan Fillion because he just voiced a character and he wasn't doing his regular voice exactly.
That's
so
true.
You know, he still do it.
I'm walking here kind of voice.
Yeah.
We've established that this movie is loaded with fan service, but as a story though, again, as a story, I thought it was like rock solid. There's a reason I think it caught on with so many people. I mean,
that's the thing. It appeals to like a ton of people that have no idea who these characters are.
Yeah.
And really, you shouldn't, and that's fine.
Which is, again, it's one that's a hard thing to accomplish in today's movie kind of market at all.
You've just appealed to the geeks,
plus
people have no idea.
Also, opening in August, the numbers it did shattered the record. Like, that is miraculous. Like, it's unbelievable that it managed to do everything it did. Being tied to the Marvel line, that helps a lot.
Yeah.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
But what helped a lot more was just an amazing marketing campaign.
Yeah,
and
I was
also
gonna say,
a great movie. Like,
and a good soundtrack.
And a great soundtrack. Like, again, it was just,
it wasn't,
oh, man.
It wasn't bomb.
Yeah.
It wasn't
Thunderstruck!
Yeah.
It was that too, but
yeah.
It wasn't a third thing. It
wasn't a third thing either.
Well, actually, it was a third thing.
Do we have anything else to say about this movie?
Go see it if you haven't seen
it.
Please. What are you doing listening to us? Turn it off. We'll be here later.
Yeah. Hit pause. Please go see it. All right, so there is one other. There's two. There's two more. There's two more. There's one that I'm going to talk about as briefly as possible. As possible, as has been established in previous episodes, I'm a bit of a fanatic of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and a new movie in that franchise relaunch, reboot kind of a deal came out a day or two ago from when we're recording this, and it's been gotten kind of some notoriety online about people complaining about a lot of the stuff they did, like, you know, they turned the turtles into, like, 7.5 foot tall steroid freaks that are just hideous. Megan Fox getting cast as April O'Neil, apparently whitewashing the Shredder so he's William Fichtner now instead of a Japanese guy, etc. And Michael Bay producing, of course, which is gonna, you know, there's certain nerds that's just gonna get in their craw there. That's not gonna be good. All of those things were pretty upsetting for me because, the Transformers movies are pretty terrible. And, again, a lot of those choices just seem bad. If you're a fan of the franchise, it just seems like they're poor choices. All of that's true. However, I did get free passes. I got free passes to see it on Thursday night, and
because you won't pay for it.
I won't pay for it. I refuse to pay for it. My original plan was actually to buy tickets to Guardians of the Galaxy and then sneak in, so I could not contribute to that movie's box office. But because I'm that serious about it. But I did see it, and I will say all of those fan complaints didn't even register to me. Because everything else about that movie was so awful that I didn't even care. Like, Megan Fox as April O'Neil was the least of that movie's problems. The movie was just a bad movie. The plot, the script was atrocious. It made no sense at all. The villain's plan, for example, like, there were several sequences that were just, like, badly taken out of other movies.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just describe a movie for you.
He creates a Death Star.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
There's a movie where the villain is, his plan is to release a harmful gas from a corporate headquarters, from like the tower, the evil corporate tower.
Oh, his corporate tower that everyone knows is his corporate tower?
Yes. Planning to release a harmful gas from that. They have to fight on the rooftop to try to prevent that.
Oh, question. Quick question. Can you see the gas, or is it like most gases where you can't actually see the gas?
Oh, this gas you can totally see. In this case, the gas was actually bright red, coming out in broad daylight, clearly out of the tower. And anyway, so you have to fight the villain.
And did it make everybody laugh hysterically until they died?
I'm thinking something else. They have a rooftop
money,
battle.
Money, money, who do you love? Eric Sachs.
You are my number one. And I.
Yeah. So you have a rooftop battle to try to stop that from happening. In the process, one of like a spire on top of the tower gets damaged, falls off and to the ground below. Have we seen this movie before?
Sounds like a movie I saw a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it might have been.
A movie I wasn't really impressed with, but it did have a lot about destiny in it.
Yes, Miracle it did. 34th Street. It did. They said it was amazing. It was okay. Anyway, so yeah, the overall plot, the origin behind the Turtles, for example, they were specifically created in a lab.
And
of the evil corporate thing. And they had basically a whole destiny that were like tied into because of that. The whole final scene was just lifted. It was just like lazily copied and pasted from The Amazing Spider-Man. And again, here's the thing about Spider-Man and the Ninja Turtles. They're not the same at all. Like, the fact that they managed to take a pretty generic superhero plot and movie and style in general and put that on the Ninja Turtles was just like a very bad choice.
Well, here's the thing. The current IDW Ninja Turtles comic, they were created in the lab.
Yeah.
That's a really good book, though. And they could have lifted so much from that book,
yeah,
which has been going on for, 2 years or so now.
Right.
And, like, they could have taken that. They could have taken that wholesale, and it would have been an amazing movie.
Absolutely. Because what they managed to do in that movie was they made the Splinter and the Turtles, like, reincarnation of Hamato Yoshi and his sons.
In the book.
In the book, yeah. Sorry, in the IDW book, not the movie. They did that, so they were able to actually still have that Hamato Yoshi, Oroku Saki mm-hmm. rivalry connection that is essential backstory, I would say, much like, I don't know, Bruce Wayne's parents getting shot and Uncle Ben getting killed by a burglar, that right. stuff. Yeah, so the IDW book manages to still have that a part of it while having the lab animals thing. The movie, Hamato Yoshi doesn't exist. You want to know how Splinter is a ninja master? He literally found a book on ninjutsu in the sewers and taught himself, and that's it.
Well, like you do.
Like you do. So it's a total coincidence that the Turtles and Splinter are ninjas.
That's how my sensei learned to do ninjutsu.
Can you imagine the other kind of books he could have found in the sewer?
Yeah. Oh boy, that's troubling.
That's coming in the porn parody.
Which will come soon.
Cherry bomb!
Hey, finally we'll have Venus de Milo back.
You know what? Do it.
Because you
can't. At this point, you might as well.
Because there's only so many female characters.
Basically, anyway, so it had those elements of, like, destiny, which, again, fly in the face of, say, again, the whole accidentally mutating stuff, which is great. it, again, the villain's plot was the most illogical thing I've ever seen in a movie. Again, he's releasing a deadly gas. Again, it is a new, brand new character in Eric Sachs, who was clearly initially supposed to be the Shredder before they very lazily put in a new character to be the Shredder in reshoots. Because they had, like, a two or three scenes of a shadowy Japanese man who's never given a name in one room. One, like, just, like, generic-y, warehouse-y room where he's just standing around talking to people. They clearly cast a guy and shot three scenes of him quickly and then decided, oh, we're just going to recut this so that guy's the Shredder now, because after William Fichtner said, oh, I'm the Shredder, the fans went nuts online. Mm. So this is a movie that's been utterly plagued by, like, just as they're developing it, trying to backtrack on their terrible decisions. And it shows, because none of it holds together at all.
I like how they backtracked on one of the guys being Leonardo and decided, no, Johnny Knoxville. He's our Leonardo.
Hi, my name's Johnny Knoxville, and welcome to Ninja Turtles.
Welcome to Jackass. Throws his brother into a Hummer.
Yep.
Oh, I'm a turtle. I got concussed.
So, yeah. Anyway, the evil plan again. They're releasing poison gas, which is bright red, and coming out of his tower in broad daylight. And the whole plan was that they would develop a antidote based on the mutagen that's in the turtles, so they capture them and pump their blood out.
Because they don't already have the recipe for mutagen.
No, of course not. They made it, but whatever. There was another scene, actually, where April's father was working on that, and he's a scientist. Mm-hmm. And it was the funniest scene in the movie, because he finds out, you know, Sack's evil plan. So he burns down the lab with himself and his daughter in it. Oh, and also, April O'Neil, the turtles and Splinter were her childhood pets that were being experimented on by this thing. She named them all. She painted their colors on them when they were little. She fed them pizza, which explains why they know pizza. And she's the one who hand-delivered them into the sewers. So everyone is connected. Like, April had to be connected to their very origin, which is awful. Like, it was badly done.
So April is Chet.
Yeah, April's Chet. April and Ed.
Was her middle name Chet in the movie?
That would be great. April is, nice. And I love the... Yeah, that's a good Mirage reference. Yeah. Yeah, so April is kind of, in a way, their mother. But that certainly doesn't stop Michelangelo from aggressively hitting on her for the entire movie in a really creepy way. This was a bad movie. Like, as a story, it was awful. Like, it's not just a bad Ninja Turtles movie, it's a bad anything movie. It was, like, probably one of the laziest, most generic, most dull, most just obnoxiously loud, terribly directed, worst movies I've ever seen. So don't watch it. And that's the end of Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Possibly, really.
And you have...
Oh, I have another one. The other one... The other one, actually, I just watched today. This was released a while ago in Japan.
What was it, better than Ninja Turtles?
A lot better.
Oh, cool.
It was actually great. I really enjoyed it a lot. It was Dragon Ball Z Battle of the Gods. And again, it was released a while ago, and it's a limited theatrical run, and we're kind of lucky we even got it here.
I'm kind of sad that I missed out on it today, because I'm not going to get to see it.
It was really, really charming. It was a lot of fun. You'll get to see it.
I'm sure I will. It would have been nice to see a Dragon Ball movie on the big screen that wasn't the worst.
Hey, Justin Chatwin, or whatever his name is.
Do they ever call him Giku in the movie?
They don't call him Giku.
No, that's better.
They sure don't. Because in this movie, unlike, you know, bad, bland reimaginings, these are the real characters. Mm. So it's a follow-up to Dragon Ball Z. It sort of fits in between, I think we kind of established talking about it, sort of the, before the epilogue of the series, so it fits in there somewhere. And, the one thing I really enjoyed about it, like the original run of Dragon Ball, it has a lot of humor.
Yeah.
Like, it's legitimately funny. Like,
that was something that was lost, Volume 17 in the manga, when it became Z. On the cartoon.
They had a bit of it earlier on, but the longer it went on, like, they had these really high-stake battles that involved a lot of powering up and grimacing, and everything's terrible! Yeah. But this really recaptures that in a great way, where a drunk Bulma on her 38th birthday is just delightful. it's about her birthday, and it's just, like, over-the-top and kind of, like, fun in a really good Dragon Ball way. They have a villain who is legitimately the god of destruction named Beerus, I think, who is a hairless purple cat person.
Beer.
Yeah. Beer us.
It's
Beerus.
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 Beerus. Around for everybody.
Exactly. And it's, yeah, so the whole idea is that he, you know, awakens after a certain amount of time. There's like a, he had a vision that he's supposed to fight a Super Saiyan god. And no one knows what that is exactly. Mm-hmm. And he's just a adorable character, really. He's like, again, he's the god of destruction. They very casually mention he's destroyed entire planets again and again and again. So, you know, but he's just kind of like, he's like a cat in some ways. Like, he gets up and he's like sort of like a tired cat waking up and sort of falling down a bit. And he's sort of like, you know, lounging and like climbing on furniture. And he's just really, he's like a funny but dangerous character that I feel like they kind of maybe lost some of the funny aspect as that series went on.
Yeah. Well, when he wakes up, isn't he like, oh, hey, somebody killed Frieza. Who's this guy that killed Frieza?
Exactly.
I want to fight that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, in the series, everyone is so much stronger than Frieza ever was at that point, but still, right. he just...
From his perspective, Frieza was the big, big, big yes. thing. And they do call back to that, which is awesome, and they do call back to the original, like, the first ever episodes of Dragon Ball with, or issues, comics.
That's right, because this is a comics podcast.
It is. But Emperor Pilaf and the dog guy, I forget his name.
Xiao,
yes. So they're in it, which is really cute. And they're like, and again, they're hilarious. Like, it's just crazy antics going on one day during Bulma's party, which happens to involve the first ever Dragon Ball villains trying to get the Dragon Balls back to, you know, do the thing that they were doing back in the beginning, trying to, like, get the Dragon Balls back so they could wish themselves whatever.
I want my Dragon Balls back.
Yeah. At the same time, you have that typical Dragon Ball Z thing of like, oh, a new villain has shown up and he's the most powerful thing ever. And how are we ever going to beat him? And so they managed to actually sort of like combine like the beginning of Dragon Ball to sort of the end of Dragon Ball Z, the sort of the tones that they had going on there in together into something that was kind of like worked well together. And at the same time, had there's sort of a charm to it where the villain wasn't even really that bad in the end. It almost felt like he was just sort of, he was there, you know, he kept threatening to destroy the Earth. The very last thing he did was, like, you know, Goku just gave up, basically. He's like, I can't beat you. Like, Goku sort of had an arrogant bit there where he's like, you know, he needed to be the best on his own.
Yeah.
And the guy was sort of talking to him like, oh, but, you know, your friends are helping you here. Isn't that something that makes you stronger, blah, blah, blah? Like, it almost, he was like, they flat out said he was, like, kind of trying to train him, trying to make him better, trying to make him understand that aspect of, say, godhood. And then at the same time, at the end there, once Goku actually gives up, says, hey, I'm not good enough, I can't beat you, I quit. And then he's like, okay, I'm gonna destroy the Earth. And he just blasts some dirt and says, well, I destroyed some Earth, I guess I'll leave. Like, the whole thing was like this kind of just cute fake out in a way, but it was, it really delivered. And again, the animation was done recently, so it's by far better than anything in the actual show.
Yeah, it's the new style.
Yeah.
They've done only in, like, you know, videos that started a video game.
Right.
It's like, wow, what if the show looked like this?
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it was fun. It was a very strong, I think, installment in that whole series. And they sort of introduce things in a way that I think you don't have to be, like, my wife saw it with me and she enjoyed it a lot and she hasn't seen any Dragon Ball Z at all. But they managed to, you know, they had sort of the exposition in him waking up like, oh, what's happened?
Right.
So they did it in kind of like...
Okay.
Kind of a natural way. It's like, oh, he defeated Frieza, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was all pretty surprisingly accessible, considering it takes place right at the end of Dragon Ball Z.
And I feel like that's sort of a good way to lead into, you know, them doing more stuff. And they've rumored about a new show.
Right.
You know, for the last little while. There hasn't been anything concrete. But it's good to show, like, yeah, there's always going to be stronger guys.
Yeah.
Like, check out this guy. You can't touch him.
Yeah.
Can't also,
da, 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 da.
Yep. It also, I think we said in the car on the way here, but
because we tried to get a lot of this stuff out of us before we got here.
It didn't work. in a few subtle ways, it kind of contradicted some stuff from Dragon Ball GT,
which is not a good show.
No, it's a terrible show.
It's real bad.
It's bad. Yeah. Well, whatever. Yeah, I guess. But it was Dragon Ball, it was the follow-up to Dragon Ball Z that Akira Toriyama didn't write, so. Anyway.
The creator wasn't involved and the show wasn't very good?
Nope.
Who knew?
So they contradicted it in a few ways, and I mean, you can look that up, you can look up how they did, but it was subtle enough you could ignore it if you want to, but at the same time, it's sort of like, oh! It sort of felt like a little nod, like, yeah, that show didn't happen. Like, they Days of Future Past it out of existence. Yeah.
They Star Trek'd it.
Sure, they Star Trek'd it, however you want to look at it, but it was a very good thing, and it was a good movie, and it was enjoyable, so if you like Dragon Ball, check it out. And now I'm going to stop talking by myself.
Hey,
and
Merc!
Also with Kyle. Merc and Doc.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Alright, well, that's going to bring us to an end for the next couple days. But, you know, come back on Sunday. We're going to have the second half for you, and you're going to love it, and I'm going to love it, and I'm going to love you, and you're going to love me, and we're all going to love each other. It's going to be beautiful. But in the meantime, I've got a couple websites for you to check out. You should check out mercasylum.ca, where you can see some of the awesome art that Merc does, see some of the crazy comics. Check out Nowadays on Facebook. That is a book that Merc did with writer Kurt Martel, where it's a zombie book based in northwestern Ontario, which is, you know, coincidentally where we, the podcasters, live. So, I mean, that's, what are the odds? But it's a super cool zombie book, and it's not your typical dumb zombies. It's fun, and I think you should check it out. Another site for you to check out is WelcomeToHereafter.com, which is a webcomic that our own Bri Kotick does. Another super cool read. It's basically a city populated by gods of every mythology, and the tagline that he's come up with, which I am just freaking in envy of, is "What happens after God loses his job?" And you know, I think that's a super cool way to start a story. You can also find him on Twitter, at Bri Kotick. You know, just Google him, Bri Kotick. It's not a common name. You're going to find the guy. And finally, I'm Kyle Lees. You can check out all of my stuff at SkiNinjas.com. I do, you know, gag-a-day comics, poetry. There's a link to my portfolio, all that stuff. I mean, you know, just go to SkiNinjas.com. Just go there. Just, like, open three tabs. Mercasylum.ca, SkiNinjas.com, Welcome to Hereafter. I mean, it's easy. You can do it. I know you can. I believe in you. Hey, I believe in you. All right, we'll see you on Sunday. Take care. I believe in you.
Something does smell a little funky.
Yeah. I swear to God.
It's not the candle.
Oh, did he shit?
Oh!
It's cat shit.
You know what? I don't think it is. It doesn't smell he's got a pretty distinct cat shit odor.
You might want to check, though.
It does smell like human shit.
It smells like something. Else.
I'll tell you this much. That's not a thing I did in there.
Oh, man. This is going to be a really good end of an episode.
This is all recorded.